Now in chapter 24, we have the call to all the tribes of Israel for actually consecration and a consideration of the covenant that God had made with them and that they had made with God. Now notice verse 1, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Now this is the thing I want you to notice in this, for this is very important. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now, this reveals something that we didn't actually know before. We may have suspected it, but we didn't know it. When God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and that's on the other side of the Jordan River, the other side of the flood. Actually, the word Hebrew means the man from the other side. And Abraham came from over there into this land. And the interesting thing is that Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, they were idolaters. When I made that statement back in the book of Genesis, I had a letter from a party that said, "How do you know that? You merely presume that." Well, frankly, I didn't presume it. I knew this was coming later on, that this would be made perfectly clear to us, that this man, Terah, the father of Abraham, was an idolater. Now, this is something that I think that we need to know. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did God make a nation out of Abraham? Why did God move in this direction? Well, let's look at something that maybe we haven't looked at before. After the Tower of Babel, man totally departed from the Lord. Just not some people. When you read the account of the Tower of Babel, actually, there was a total apostasy. No one served God, not even Terah, the father of Abraham. They were scattered, and they went out in every direction. And they had a knowledge of the living and true God. And the very interesting thing is that today, all of the tribes of the earth, all that are in idolatry, all that are in deepest paganism, and some of them that are the most heathen of all, they are the ones that have a clear-cut understanding that way back at the beginning, their ancestors served the living and the true God. But they got away from it. And now at the Tower of Babel, there was total apostasy. Now, what can God do? Well, he's God. He can do most anything, of course. But what can he do that'll be consistent with his person, his attributes, and with his character? How is he going to recover mankind? How will he do it? Man is totally apostate. He could judge the human family and exterminate them. That is, remove them from this earth. Get rid of them. Wouldn't be any point of having a human family on this earth. It could be just as bleak as the moon is, for that matter, friends. God could have made this earth just exactly like the moon if he'd wanted to, but he didn't. And now, if he's going to recover mankind, he's got to get into mankind some way. So what did he do when he called Abraham? He said to Abraham, "I want you to get away." Now, apparently, here is a man who had the knowledge of the living and true God and had a desire in his heart to know the living and true God. And there in Ur of the Chaldees, God said to him, "Abraham, get out from your people Now we know why, don't we? Why did he say, get away from your relatives, get away from Tyre? Why? Why, Tyre is an idolater, and he's worshiping heathen gods. Therefore, God says to him, get away from all of that. Now, God called Abraham aside in order that through Abraham, God might deal with this man, make a nation, and through that nation, bring into the world a Messiah. Now, he didn't do it in that land. He had to make him a nation down in the brickyards of Egypt. Friends, if he's going to do anything for you and me, it's going to be in the fires. I just don't believe, friends, that he can use a mollycoddle raised in our contemporary culture today and in our contemporary churches today. We have the most sickening group of saints in the average church. Why, they do not know what it is to be loyal and true to God. They don't know what it is to stand for Him. Why, they go off in every direction. Why, a Bible-taught church in a few months can depart from it and be putting on programs that they wouldn't have heard of years ago. Why? Because the human heart is like that. Now, Joshua here gives a warning. He says, now, God, on the other side of the flood, he called our fathers. They were idolaters over there, and God called us to get us away from idolatry. The first commandment Moses gave, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second, thou shalt not make any likeness of anything. Now they've come into a land where everything is idolatry. And they didn't get rid of all the people in that land, and they are a real danger. And Joshua now is calling these people to a dedication, a real consecration, that is, a turning their life completely over to God because they can't even trust themselves. This, my friend, is something that's very important.